Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up. Here is...
WZB BC. Which I can say any words I want. Just get a sort of spark up in the third eye region. And the rest is like jerking off. Oh, I hate to use that as an example for the kids or anything, because they have to go through the hurdles and foibles of myth-dom so they can get enculturated properly to buy the Xbox this Christmas. I don't want to interfere with that pathway, that neural junction box loop connection, the one-way trip to Palookaville on down Capitalist Alley. I don't want to interfere. Just one lone voice on the grassy knoll, and I want it left like that. I don't want anyone on my blood trail. Anyone figuring out my home, street, apartment number, address, telephone number, staking out my apartment, wait until I'm home or not home, with, without guest, in or out of my underwear, through checking my email, through an email listing, or any of that kind of stuff. You hear me? I feel so much better now. I've expressed myself through many duplicate copies, all simultaneous, almost simultaneously. You know how good that feels today. You gotta have some of that juice. You gotta have crawling ambient spiders all over your initial point of bifurcation into the holographic illusion, where you just don't feel like an American man today. At least that's what I was programmed to feel. I'm just now trying to apprehend the white trail that created that illusion in my head for me. Where the hell that came from. Some media outlet filtering into my osmotically sensitive, multi-tiered 12 chakra body construct illusion to pick up all this illusory holographically projected mess in the first place. Unless I was tracked down by some sort of a metaphysical witch doctor hunter, time transfer-er, interdimension user-er. Because I don't think those exist, do they? Not unless you want them to, my good friends. That's the point of all of this. Not unless you want it to. Alright, take that part back. I don't want a point. Unless there's a lot of points. Points of light. WZBC out of Newton. Under the good George W. Butch's watch. When all good things creative can happen across this great land of ours. This is proof that what I say is correct. 90.3 FM, New Metaphysics Time, Gary Geiserman with Parole Officer, for electronic ankle cuffs, as it were, ready to have some fun. Now I'm going to put aside any delusions or even observations of grandeur that I could be embarking on the creation of a great work of art right now. Sonic painting a 2.5 plus dimensional synesthesia sinus capture that whose form, of course, is ahead of its time and blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. I'm going to forget all that. Because that kind of stuff can get you in trouble. Especially if it was correct. 617-552-4686 339. No, forget the last part. Got excited there. Numbers are like sperm cells, you know, and sometimes you just can't get a grip on yourself properly. Gets all slippery and stuff. All hell can break loose. 552-4686 in the 617. That's good. And .org upstairs on the network. 112K only, unfortunately. Run it through iTunes, I do. Fuck that real player bullshit. Or use some other good player. Not real player, though. Don't use that. I don't know what the hell that is. And a video cam, too. For the groupies. Male, female, or other. You know who you are. Cathode ray tube now. Cathode ray tube now and forever. Remember, we have three dimensions of illusion. Use them all. No flat screens.
I went to Chinatown.
You mean Matthew?
It's an action.
Officer. I swear I'm clean. I'm just waiting here for a friend.
You gonna bust me for nothing, man?
I'm not a cop.
Then why are you asking me for action?
Because she sent me over. I suppose that ain't the 38 you've got in your sock.
38?
No.
Huh?
I'm clean, man.
Shit, you're a real cowboy.
That's nice, man.
It's all right. $15, 15 minutes, $25, half an hour.
Oh, shit.
Cowboy, huh? I once had a horse in Coney Island. She got hit by a car. Well, take it or leave it. If you want to save yourself some money, don't fuck her. You should be back here every night for some more, man. She's 12 and a half years old. You ain't never had no pussy like that. You can do anything you want with her. You can come on her, fuck her in the mouth, fuck her in the ass, come on her face, man. She got your cock so hard, she'll make it explode. But no rough stuff. All right? I'll take it.
Hey, man. Take out no money over here.
You wanna fuck me?
You're gonna fuck me. You're gonna fuck her. You give her the money.
Yeah.
Catch you later, copper.
What'd you say?
I'll see you later, copper. I'm no cop, man.
Well, if you are, it's entrapment already.
Huh? I'm hip.
But you don't look hip. Go ahead, have yourself a good time. Go ahead. You're a funny guy. But looks are on everything. Go ahead, man. Have a good time.
John Perry Barlow, Rick Doobie, and Amy Mann. Stand by, would you? It's our audience.
Hello, John Catterine.
How are you?
You were on our last Napster show.
I sure
was. Welcome
back. Hi, John.
I was, hi, how you doing? I was hoping this would happen with Napster. I was sort of waiting.
You and Bronze.
Yeah, and I'm very pleased to see that it has happened.
Why, because the fat is in the fire now, or what?
Well, I think the fat is in the fire, and I think that... You know, I think we're beginning to face an issue that people were ignoring or hoping would go away. And people have talked a lot about, you know, what the record companies are doing wrong and this, that, and the other thing this morning. I think in reflecting on this morning myself, and I'm beginning to now make some money, some meaningful money on my copyrights. And I don't make it by selling records. I make it by through publishing. And, you know, to see copyrights devalued is a real threat to me. It's a direct threat to me. And I think if you really think about this, it's less about records than it is about copyrights at the end of the day. We're talking about the devaluation of copyrights, and I think the judgment against Napster helps protect the notion of copyrights. I think that if you look at this from a download or a record perspective, I think the issue that people have been avoiding and not wanting to talk about is greed. And I think while lots of people will get on their soapboxes and talk about how music should be free because it's beautiful, and I read a quote this morning that the guys in Metallica are quote-unquote capitalist pigs for what they did to Napster, I think...
But John, don't you...
I think the users of Napster have to be a little bit intellectually honest here, too, because they're taking music...
George W. Bush has proved we don't really have a president of the United States.
George W. Bush is proof we don't really have a president of the United States. George W. Bush is a putz.
I stagger, I swoon, I like you. I can't seem to move, I can't seem to breathe. I love you. I. I sick U-turn was wrong. Z. Hurt. Me.
Turkey launched a counterinsurgency campaign against its miserably oppressed Kurdish population, and that required military aid, and the United States was happy to provide it in the interest of human rights and freedom and justice. The aid stayed very high. As I say, Turkey was first place, though replaced for a while by El Salvador, stayed very high until 1999. The main atrocities were in the Clinton years, and that's when the aid went up as well. As the atrocities escalated, so did the military aid. Clinton administration was providing 80% of Turkey's arms. The peak year was 1997. In fact, in the single year 1997, the United States provided more military aid to Turkey than in the entire period, 1950 to 1983, the entire Cold War period. Insurgency, however, had not yet been crushed. Correspondingly, and if you're rational, perhaps, therefore, Colombia replaced Turkey as the leading recipient of U.S. military aid and training. Well, these again are things you're just not supposed to notice because they conform too well to the moral truism. They tell you too much about our institutions and how they function, and about the intellectual culture that protects and supports them, our culture, which we take part in, contribute to, and sustain. It's not something out there somewhere. The same issue in the New York Times on Sunday also has a book review by a well-known liberal historian about several new books about Vietnam. That's appropriate. We are now approaching the 40th anniversary of the U.S. attack against South Vietnam. Remember that South Vietnam was always the major target of the U.S. attack. Of course, the U.S. said it was there to defend the government of South Vietnam from terrorists from abroad, essentially what the Russians said about their invasion of Afghanistan, and with maybe about half as much legitimacy. But we're supposed to believe it, so therefore that's the line. Anyhow, we're coming up to 40 years. It's 1961 and 62 is when Kennedy launched the direct attack against South Vietnam. That's after about 6 years of U.S. running a Latin American-style terror state there, in which about 60,000 to 70,000 people were killed, eliciting resistance which couldn't be controlled, so the U.S. invaded directly. The results I don't have to go through. Should know them. It's maybe worth mentioning that in a poll a couple of years, this is the only poll I know of, where Americans were asked to estimate the number of Vietnamese dead in the war. The average guess was about 100,000. There was a poll in Germany which revealed that Germans estimated the number of Holocaust victims at 200,000. We might think there's a little bit of a problem in German culture that should perhaps be looked at. But since this is our massacres and atrocities, the question doesn't arise. And it doesn't arise in the review or in the books. The review and the books never suggest that there's anything wrong about anything we did. The only problem is, was it a failure? Why was it a failure? You know, who's responsible, and so on. The kind of questions that the German general staff would have been raising after Stalingrad, I suppose. That's pretty typical. Just to mention another current case, the...
Look, 5 Opera, please.
Yeah, speaking.
Yes, my name's Richard.
Yeah.
And apparently someone ordered some lobsters for me and sent them to me from you.
Yes.
And one of the lobsters has got its claw on my tongue, and I'd like to get it undone. I don't know if you can help me.
He's got his claw in what?
On my tongue.
Got his claw on your tongue?
On my tongue.
Now, by God, that is a new one. Yeah, right. Well, that's right. Now, the only thing you can do is you just relax a minute, he'll let go.
I was supposed to relax?
What did you do? Take the elastic off from the claw?
Yeah, I was going to put him in hot boiling water.
Yeah.
And I took the elastic off because I didn't know if you were supposed to keep that on.
Right.
And I was just lifting up the pot, and I had the lobster in one hand, and recently it got my tongue.
Jesus. Which claw is it? The one with the teeth in it or the fine teeth?
As long as the teeth.
Jesus, yeah, that's the crusher claw.
The what claw?
We call it the crusher claw. Yeah, that's the worst one because you can pinch out it with that one. Yeah.
It's all kind of relaxed with his little beady eyes looking at me.
Yeah, right. I know what you're saying. Jesus, he's still gonna pinch for a while. That's for damn sure.
What do you usually do?
The only thing you can do, what I usually do, if you can relax a lobster. Now, of course, you've got him in your hand, and he's, if you can lay him on the counter and put your head on the counter.
Uh-huh.
So that you're not holding on to the lobster.
How I'll do that, okay? Okay.
So you can get over to the counter, put your head on the cupboard.
Okay.
Put the lobster on the cupboard and take your hands off the lobster.
Okay.
And I think in a minute he'll relax.
You know, he keeps sticking his little antenna to my nose, and it tickles my nose. Makes it kind of hard for me to laugh.
Yeah, right. I can see what you're saying, but that's what you got to do. In just a second, he'll kind of let go.
He's not letting go. In fact, I think he's going to take his other claw.
He
just got my other claw on my lip.
Hey, Wes.
Now I got, sir.
Yes, sir.
Where do you see these things?
Huh?
This is not very...
All right, now let me tell you what, Bill.
Okay, because you got little claws on me. I got one on my tongue and one on my lip.
See if you can put a plug in the sink and fill it full of water. And then kind of slide him over to the sink, and when he'll go in that water. Put the plug in the sink, fill it full of water. And
you know what? The sink is already full.
Is it warm water, hot water?
It's like room temperature.
Okay. See if you can slide him over to the water and put him in the water and hold your face down there And he should.
Ah! His skin's like cheap tire.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God. Have you got him in the water?
He's in the water. He squeezed me tight. I don't think he likes the water.
No, he probably don't, because it's fresh water, but he should relax in just a second.
He's not relaxing.
This is the first time right here that this ever happened to me. I've been in the lobster business 35 years.
And you know what sucks? It's my wife's anniversary.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he's cooking off dinner.
You ain't even going to be able to kiss that night.
Oh.
He must be angry because you're going to eat him, that's for sure.
It looks like he's getting me first.
Yes. Oh, geez, I'd like to have that on video. You and I would get $10,000 out of that.
One phrase that suggested that there may be some problem with this. It was a staffer for the National Security Council who wanted to raise the possibility that if any of these atrocities became public, it might harm the U.S. Image in Europe, and therefore didn't care much about Latin America, but might harm it in Europe, and therefore maybe we should have some second thoughts, or at least keep them more quiet. Remember who these people were. These were the intellectual elite from Harvard, MIT, and places like that. And it's an interesting reflection on the moral and cultural institutions. That's just from current things. It's very easy to find more if you go back.
The band boys with their Zionist delights. Stay away from all them Christians calling all them Jew boys kikes. Stay away from all them prophets, they'll get you into fights. Stay away from all them Arabs with that murder on their mind. Stay away from State Department, they'll bow and scrape you blind. Stay away from Rockefeller, he blows up an oily wind. Stay away from Richard Nixon, he'll get you all in jail. He'll kick you and he'll punch you and he'll make your vision fail. And while he's got you staying away from the White House, he will wail, oh, stay away from my White House, I got it all my own. You can hear it in the basement, all them singing plumbers groan. Stay away, oh, all you Democrats, except the hawks I've known. You can come into my White House, Senator Jackson Hawk. You're the one that loves the Army. Billions you will balk. Mr. Ford and CIA Bush, right in my door you walk. Stay away from Nirvana, your ambition makes you blind. Stay away from Brahmaloka, you can only grasp the wind. Stay away from every heaven, you'll wake up in sovereign mind. Come down, yeah, come down to earth right here on Avenue C and 10th Street. Make your mind I see clear. Come down to earth, Merry Christmas, and I wish you a Happy New Year.
That with the script of the biblical teaching on the sanctity of life, and he
and
got
you're shocked, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Well, I hear you're not feeling too well, Andrew.
No, I've been sick.
I think we should lay hands on him, actually. I can stand up and just come before the Lord.
Have been declassified decades ago and then sold in bulk to Army surplus stores, and they have a new bomb recipe on every page, and yet when the so-called Army of God manual comes out with two minor league bomb recipes in the whole book, And the rest of the book, fill up with nuggets such as putting super glue in a lock, or pouring expanding cement down the drain pipe, or dropping a brick on the top of the building from an ultralight. Everyone goes ballistic.
Happy birthday to you.
That I can see in any way.
No. All right, not to change gears entirely, but Tom from Deer Lodge has been calling. What state again was that, Tom?
Yes.
What state are you in?
Deer Lodge, Montana.
Montana, great state. You're on the air, Tom. Be brief, if you would, and give your question to Bud.
Okay, you're talking about the UFO disappearing in the water and mm-hmm. so forth.
Right.
And you indicated there were other cases of the same thing.
Yes.
Were they predominantly on the east coast?
Well, they've been reported many places. I even have one case of a submerged, apparently a submerged moving UFO incredibly fast in the waters off Vietnam. But we've got them in lakes, and we've got them in the Atlantic and the Pacific and so forth.
I
haven't made a study of this particular kind of case, so I can't really cite chapter and verse with this.
I was trying to put it in with the big mystery.
With which mystery?
The big mystery.
Things weigh. All the things that one must have to go into the Amazon were piled at the river's edge on a tiny trading boat that was to be our vessel. That Mito, our captain, indicated that we were to have the area on top of the cases of bottled fluorescent soda. We were informed that it was 6 to 12 days to where we wanted to go, depending on business. Puerto Leguizamo disappeared. And the river, the green bank, the shrill of insects and parrots, the brown water became our world. Our way underpowered but slowly to the middle of the shining brown river under an immense sky, under an immense sun. A delicious moment when one has done all that one can for a journey and is at last in motion, no longer responsible since giving that burden up to pilot or engineer, boatman or ground control. The world one is leaving has been truly broken away from, the destination still unknown. A favorite kind of moment, more familiar in the sterile environs of ocean-crossing passenger planes, and so how much richer here, surrounded by the cargo of sun-dried fish and brilliant gaseoses. I made a small space where I could sit cross-legged and roll the joint. The flow of the river was like the rich smoke I inhaled, the flow of smoke, the flow of water and of time. All flows, said a beloved Greek. Called the crying philosopher. But why crying? I love what he says. It does not make me cry. What a luxury to be smoking again in the tropics, again in the light, away from the season and places of death. Away from living under the state of emergency in Canada, on the edge of war-bloated, mad America, mother's death, and coincidentally all my books and art, carefully stored, carefully collected, and shipped back, burned. Fire and cancer, cancer and fire. Away from these terrible things, sudden fissures in the psychic landscape that open and swallow one's whole world. 10 months of deepening alienation that began with leaving tropical Asia and like a comet being drawn in to nearly brush its star, being drawn through Hong Kong, Taipei, Tokyo, and Vancouver before being hurled over war-toiling America and on into the outer darkness of other wretchedly poor tropical countries. The flight from Vancouver to Mexico City passed over my mother sleeping in her grave for the first winter. On, over Albuquerque, only a pattern of freeway interchanges in the desert's night emptiness. On and on into what was then only an idea, the Amazon.
Sheena? I got something you want.
Huh?
I got something you want.
What?
You find out.
Who is this?
It don't matter who I am. We got your dog.
Huh? You got the wrong number.
It don't matter who I am. We got your dog.
You got the wrong number.
Come get your damn dog.
Miami Chamber of Commerce, hello.
I understand you've done a survey on Canadian habits.
Yes, sir. Could you hold on for a moment, please?
Who am I speaking to?
My name is Ward Fontana. I'm director of survey.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Could you hold on for just a moment?
Okay.
Thank you very much. You've reached the Miami Chamber of Commerce. Press 1 to talk to an operator. Press 2 to talk to Ward Fontana, director of surveys. Press 3 if you've lived in the United States for more than 10 years. Press 4 if you come to the United States on a regular basis. Press 5 if you love America. Press 6 if you think America is, you know. We'll connect your call now. Ward Fontana, hello.
Yeah. There's a guy on WIOD who's making some statements.
WIOD?
Exception to.
What is that, sir?
He says there's 50 million Canadians.
Who's this, sir?
My name is Phil.
No, but who's the person on WIOD?
I don't have his name. He's a Canadian, and he's making all these rash statements. And what he's doing, he's painting all the Canadians as if he had a few bad eggs, and all the Canadians are like that. And he says, according to your survey.
That's right.
Did you find 80% of Canadians wear black stockings and sandals?
We did, sir. We conducted this over
How many people did you interview?
We interviewed approximately 7,000 people who were visitors from Canada.
Where did you interview these people?
We did this all throughout South Florida in the South Beach area.
How many
also in the Fort Lauderdale.
Canada, Mr. Fontana?
Our latest statistics show that there are 75 million Canadians.
There are, eh?
Yes, sir.
And
well, you said A.
You, said, you are 300% wrong, or 200% wrong.
Sir, we have done this survey in conjunction.
I'm saying you are 200%
all right.
wrong.
All right, could you hold on?
You think you should check and make sure?
Could you hold on for just a moment, sir? We'll double check. Thank you for calling the Miami Chamber of Commerce. Press 1 if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Press 2 if you're a hockey fan. Press 3 if you think homosexuals should be deported. Press 4 if you think Indians should be deported. Press 5 if you like Americans who don't wear black stockings and sandals. Press 6. Press 6. Press 7. Press... Thank you. Your call is being connected. All right, sir, this is Ward Fontana. Am I got the gentleman on the line?
Yep.
And where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
Where is that?
Well, I guess you never heard of Toronto. What cities have you heard of in Toronto?
Cities in Toronto?
No. What cities have you heard of in Canada?
Oh, that Toronto, Canada.
Oh, I'm glad it rings a bell. It happens to be one of the two most famous cities in Canada.
I never heard of it.
I know you never heard of it.
All right. What is your complaint, sir?
My complaint is, now, I just spoke to you a second ago.
Yes, sir.
Based on some information that a guy is using on WIOD that he said he got from you.
Sir, are you calling from a touchtone phone?
No, I'm not calling from a touchtone phone. What difference
how did you get
if I'm calling from a touchtone phone?
Well, I've got to know if you're calling from a touchtone phone.
No, I'd like to
because
I just spoke to you, and you said there were 75 million people in Canada.
We're doing a survey. Are you calling from a touchtone phone?
I don't want to get into a survey.
Well,
I'd like to get some straight answers
I'm
from
going
you.
To give you those straight answers, sir. You're entitled to them.
Well,
but I just want
you said a minute ago that you were going to check.
I am checking. I have the facts and
okay,
figures.
You want
to get those figures, to get those
80%,
yes, sir.
80% of the people,
you need
Canadians,
to press. Yeah.
Up their nose in restaurants.
Please press zero. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, what was the question?
No, you also made a statement, according to this guy in WIOD, that 80% of Canadians stick their fingers up their noses in restaurants.
Yes, sir. That was the survey of restaurant owners in South Florida.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How many countries have you lived in?
Please press seven.
How many foreign countries have you lived in?
Please press 7.
How many foreign countries?
Sir,
answer that, I'll press 7.
I cannot answer the question unless you press 7. All right.
How many foreign countries have you lived in?
All right. If you want me to tell you the truth, press 3. If you want me to lie, press 4. Oh, you want me to lie?
Well, I don't know. If you tell me there's 75 million Canadians... And there was only 26
All right.
million.
I'll tell the truth if you press 3. Press 3. Okay.
Yeah,
there are 20.
I'm not sure with these buttons.
There's 26 million Canadians.
Approximately.
You pressed the wrong button.
Or maybe I pressed the wrong button.
That's right.
Is on the way, and to give you an idea of what the paper's about, this next issue is going to feature an interview with Fred Ho, who is a revolutionary baritone saxophonist who's been very active in the Chinese American community in New York, doing very revolutionary music and theater work. There's going to be an interview with a couple that does pro-choice folk music from back east, an interview with a gentleman who does a radio show, actually, his first radio show I found that's similar to mine, and it focuses on political music. It's done by a professor out at UC Santa Barbara. He does a radio show down there called Culture of Protest. There's going to be articles on Nueva Canción music, a really interesting analysis of Bob Marley's, the politics of Bob Marley's last concert performance.
Be stopped even by killing him. That's basically our position. So we have the Army of God, which in the future will organize and coalesce like those in Europe who had centuries of underground work, and there will be skilled assassins and skilled saboteurs after the abortion industry, which is not only the abortionists, but the people on top of them, including Supreme Court judges. Now, Paul Hill is called for Supreme Court judges to be killed, and also for chemical and biological weapons, and we support this call. At least I do.
everybody really that you've been in contact with. You wrote me an email one time that you were right on the verge of that you were ate up with pity for these babies and you had to do something. And I felt that you were about to head off in the direction of doing something foolish, not that I would consider killing an abortionist foolish in and of itself, but I would only want you to do it in such a way that you would not be apprehended while you were doing
it.
And that you would do it in a soldierly manner and get away with it.
I light this candle in memory of Donald L. Catron and Claudia Gilmore, both shot and wounded December 28, 1991 in Springfield, Missouri.
Dr. David Gunn, murdered March 1993 in Pensacola, Florida. Dr. Gunn was my friend.
In my journey right now, I may be thinking on even bigger terms. I think the Lord God is more than capable of bringing the government itself under his foot for footstool.
Yeah. But he's not going to do that, son. He's left that up to us.
I light this candle for Dr. John Britton, Lieutenant Colonel James Barrett, June Barrett. John and James were murdered. June was wounded in July 1990.
Who wouldn't think about killing someone if you knew that someone you loved was about to be murdered? And the presence of that thought is a temptation. It's too tempting. You can't tempt young men like me beyond what we can bear. There's a point beyond what someone like me can bear. When it comes to babies being killed and slaughtered, that's the point beyond which I don't know how anyone else is wired up, but the way I'm wired up and the way I've learned to love children and to protect children and to be careful with children and to change their diapers and to defend them and to do everything that would be good for them. You can't go and insert this climate of murdering children and just say, accept that and don't be tempted on a regular basis to use violence to stop it.
In all honesty, I don't feel that what I've done is a crime. And I think it's illogical and irresponsible for you to sentence me to prison. Because when you think about it, what did I really do? I crossed an imaginary line with a bunch of plants.
20th century.
1914.
But before that, it was completely legal. Is that correct?
I was not born yet.
Really? Really? So, all right. So we're standing out here, outside the store, and we're not smoking pot, and there are no young girls here at this point. What do you think of the rising stars in the entertainment field named Mary, Kate, and Ashley?
Oh, I love them.
Really? Now, they've been the stars of several video games, and can you tell us about some of these video games? Are they good games? Or?
No, the games suck, but who cares?
Well, wait, the horseback riding one ships this week, so we'll see.
Yes.
We have to see how Acclaim's motion capturing technology has improved over the years.
Excellent, excellent.
They should be budding about that.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you guys doing anything to prepare for the blizzard that's going to be hitting in a few days? Or?
I'm laughing my ass off.
Yeah. And why is that?
Just because nobody believed me on Thursday when I told them.
Really, you knew that long ago that the blizzard was coming.
Yeah, I started telling people Thursday.
Now, how did you know? Do you have a weather predicting talent?
I just felt it.
Really, really. And so it's what is it going
to
be about?
In fact, I noticed I tend to be erect more throughout
really?
The day when it's about.
Well, see, things like that, people discredit them in this day and age. But actually, lots of different techniques can be used to predict the weather. Definitely. Well, so anyway, Classictronica. Now, let's talk about what Classictronica was. It was a little fanzine we published. It was actually more of a checklist, I would say, a video game checklist, back in 1996, so it was about 5 years ago. What are your memories of this small publication?
A lot of work.
We did a lot of work, and we did not get a lot of credit for it. We did not rise to the level of some other people who publish fanzines and are at a much higher level in the world of video game collecting, correct?
We also didn't push it.
Yes, that's true. So what do you think about the fact that Classictronica has now come back in the form of an internet radio program?
Considering the person behind it, I am not surprised.
And Dr. Clark, the chairman of neurosurgery, had come in the meantime, and he had walked up to the head of the patient and looked inside at the wound and shook his head.
John F. Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time today here in Dallas. He died of a gunshot wound in the brain. Firstly, tell me, it's a simple matter, Tom, of a bullet right through the head.
On duty at Parkland throughout these events was Aubrey Wright, an ambulance driver for the O'Neill Funeral Home. He was approached by the Secret Service.
They told us to go into the trauma room and prepare the president to be moved. And had his head wrapped in sheets. At the time, didn't know where he had been shot or what, you know. And we was all very sad, you know, everybody's choking back tears beginning with it. But
Dr. Earl Rose was a forensic pathologist, well trained in medical legal autopsies, and he appeared at Trauma 1 and said, this is a homicide in Dallas County and I will do the autopsy on President Kennedy. In the meantime, a casket had been acquired and the president's body had been placed in it, and he was informed by the Secret Service that if he didn't get out of the way, he would be run over by the casket as they were leaving. This was the president of the United States, and they were taking him back to Washington.
There was a lot of cursing going on. I was embarrassed, especially for Miss Kennedy, because she was standing right behind us. The priest was there. A lot of what I thought was, you know, was too foul of a language to be going on. You know, it was a terrifying type thing. It's hard to believe, you know, that grown people could be so childish about things and everyone trying to take over.
Vice President Johnson had already left for the airport, shortly to be followed by Jackie Kennedy with her husband's body. The casket was manhandled up the steps of Air Force One. Minutes later, Johnson was sworn in as the new president.
The
first thing a cross-dresser needs to do is to invest in a good pair of prostheses.
I have a dream. Newton. ZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZ easy, easy.
Do you call a blonde with half a brain? Gifted. What do you call a blonde with two brain cells? Pregnant. How do you brainwash a blonde? Give her a douche and shake her upside down. How does a blonde part their hair? By doing the splits. Why aren't blondes good cattle herders? Because they can't even keep two calves together. What did the blonde's right leg say to the left leg? Nothing. They've never met. Why do blondes wear their hair up? To catch everything that goes over their heads. Why is it good to have a blonde passenger? You can park in the handicap zone. What's a blonde's favorite nursery rhyme? Hump me, dump me. How do you make a blonde's eyes light up? Shine a flashlight in their ear. Bag up. How is a blonde like a frying pan? You have to get them hot before you put in the meat. How do you describe the perfect blonde? 3 feet tall, no teeth, and a flat head to rest your beer on. How can you tell if a blonde is a good cook? She gets the Pop-Tarts out of the toaster in one piece. Why does a blonde insist on him wearing a condom? So she can have a doggy bag for later.
there is an intelligence there that is beyond your mind, far greater than your mind is at present, that does know what to do. If it didn't, brother, we'd be in a hell of a mess.
And they dropped the work week from 60 to 40 hours, increased the pay and benefits. And that's how we judge the success of the second industrial revolution of the 20th century. In the end of work, in my book, I ask one question. Why aren't we at least measuring the information age by the same standards our grandparents measured the industrial age? We should be moving for a 30-hour work week in every country in the world in the next 10 years. That's the blessing of labor-saving technologies. Not more work, more leisure.
That is a very important aspect of cross-dressing. Eyebrows, I'll shave those. I've tried waxing, I've tried plucking, and I hate that. And I don't know of any women that like to do that. So I'll just shave them.
Nearly 3 hours after arriving in Dallas, the plane left for Washington. In Dealey Plaza, in the chaos immediately after the shooting, there'd been confusion about where the shots had come from. Over 50 known eyewitnesses believe that there was a gunman up on the grassy knoll.
Your time. 15 minutes ain't long.
Favorite pleasurable fantasies are now coming true daily. My favorite pleasurable fantasies are now coming true daily.
My favorite pleasurable fantasies are now coming true daily.
You are willing to receive. You are willing to receive. You are willing to receive. I am willing to receive. I am willing to receive.
And then I'll get a real close shave on the face. And then I'll apply my makeup. But you need to learn how to do the makeup. It isn't a matter of, oh, I got some makeup, boom, I'm ready to go. It's not that simple. Your eyes, your cheeks, and your lips. Do your makeup, you only want to emphasize one of those three. Any one of those three is okay. Just, but one of those three, you want it to be the focal point. Then I'll fix my hair. I'll go ahead and get dressed.
Kinna, Kanamaso, Kana. Honeb, Hinab, Henni, Hemp, Hanaf, Cannabis Indica, Cannabis Sativa, Ganja, Ganjika, Gangika.
Ma.
Hashish, hashash, hashaichi, Indra sense, kia in sangu, kep kif, kia, kini.
Yes, I think that makes sense. I mean, it's certainly clear that the early Christians have no reason, they don't want to put Roman backs up, they don't want to do anything but make themselves palatable to Rome, I think. And it's noticeable in the story of Pilate that as soon as the Romans embrace Christianity in the 4th century, the figure of Pilate becomes more and more villainous from then on, as if he's only been made at all soft in order to get the Romans on the side of the Christians. As soon as there's no need to do that, suddenly this character takes an extreme dive, until by the Middle Ages you have a figure who's on the stage alongside Satan, and every bit as bad as both the devil and it medievalized the Jews. So, and you know, that's an interesting progression in the story.
Indeed so. But what does one do then with the sort of, what you're saying was a kind of political or almost marketing pressure on the gospel writers to bend the story in Pilate's favor? What is a modern Christian like yourself, James Carroll, you know, do with that bit of sort of storytelling, the story of the story?
Well, I've heard, I've been instructed on this program over the years, Chris, by John Dominic Crossan, who helps us remember that the gospel writers are not falsifying history. That is to say, they're not saying Pilate was innocent when they knew very well he wasn't. They're really recording a story as they remember the history. I mean, this is the way the story had come to them and was coming to them while they were in competition with their fellow Jews. So it's not so simple as saying the Gospels lie about this, about these events. I think what we're really getting is Gospel writers who are telling the story as they understand it. And this, don't forget, it's very important to always keep in mind, the Gospels are not written as history by eyewitnesses. They're not written by people, that is to say, who were there. Nobody who writes the Gospels was present for any of these trials that are reported in such detail. We clearly have invention here. It may be invention based on oral tradition or not. We don't know. But what's important for our purposes is to understand that the radical conflict between Jesus and the Jews, so-called, reflects a conflict that was taking place between the followers of Jesus and other Jews who were rejecting their claims. That's important because it enables us to understand that Jesus himself never set himself against the Jewish people, which is that's key to our ability to undoing the centuries of Christian anti-Judaism.
Yet that mind, the senses of yours can interfere with it. And it does sometimes. You get angry, mad or tense, mentally disturbed, eat the best kind of food. And I'll bet you in 20 minutes, you'll be running for soda. That particular intelligence down there in your body, which is independent of your own mind, will not work with the distorted conditions, but it'll make that mind suffer for this distortion that it produced.
And on the phone from Boston once again, our audio pal, Jay Rose. How are you, Jay?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear you again. Now, see, I went to your website today, and I'm thinking, what am I going to talk to Jay about? And I go to your website, and I think, there'll never be a problem finding something to talk to Jay about. Never, ever.
Well, I was really gratified by the number of hits my website had after my last time on. We were talking about phonetics and how you can take words apart, and people were honing right into the tutorial section.
Right on. Good,
glad
folks.
Spread the word around. And
remember, let's get the website up there, dplay.com. Right,
short
Jay?
For Digital Playroom, DPLAY.
So you had mentioned that you had something you thought would be fun here to do this.
Yeah, I wanted to give a practical example of what I was talking about last time. So, Mark, did you see the movie Primary Colors?
Yeah, six times.
Okay. Think back to the cell phone sequence.
Oh, yes, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Kathy Bates' character hears it, says, hey, something's fishy here. She goes to an expert who unleashes his Mac with sound edit 16.
Saw that.
And he says, yeah, I know what they did. Okay, Colors, I want to take a particular speech that a recent president gave.
Okay.
And just talk a little bit about some of the things you can do with language, with words. We could have outdone what they did in that movie.
Let me
play you something, okay?
Okay.
Here's a speech by a recent president.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We've heard that line before.
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, somebody who was maybe a novice at editing or possibly was in a movie called Primary Colors wanted to do some just gross editing would change it like this.
I did have sexual relations with that woman.
Just taking out the word not.
Right.
Pretty unconvincing, right?
Yeah, I heard the cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's not the way anybody would speak. Certainly a guy as loose as Clinton would not say, I did have sexual relations. That's not Clinton-esque.
Okay.
But last time on the show, we were talking about how words are broken up into phonemes.
That's right.
You take a program like Peak.
Okay.
Peak is an excellent editor for the Macintosh, sound
yep.
editor.
Sitting on
every
the other side.
Professional uses. It's not very expensive.
Sitting on the other side of the console here, I believe.
Okay.
It's at work right now.
You scrub through the sound slowly.
You really do have a digital playroom there, don't you, Jay?
Oh, I love to play. Take a listen to the word did.
I heard that.
I did.
You can scrub accurately enough that you can separate did into d, e, e, d. So if you take the d off the end of did and you put it where the v is in have, now you start to get something that could have been Clinton. Take a listen.
I've had sexual relations with that woman.
Jay?
He never said the word had.
That's
the original.
That's right.
Here's the original again.
I did not have sexual...
And here's the edited.
I've had sexual relations with that woman.
And then it's a piece of cake.
So, Jay, I got a question for you.
Wait, so let me play this one for you, okay?
Okay.
I've had sex with that woman.
Jay?
Yeah?
Are you a Republican?
No. Actually, if you want to hear something,
I can only imagine what you could do with Bush.
You don't even have to.
That's what I was going to say. You wouldn't even have to do any editing.
Actually, I could probably turn Bush into somebody who could speak.
There you go. Well, they missed the boat. They should have been talking to you. But mind you, they might have known already that people like Disney and Buena Vista and all these people are already using your talents.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did some work for Disney recently.
There you go.
You're just trying to push me. And here, I wanted to spread the word and maybe sell my book. And you're trying to sell my studio.
Well, it sounds like you're having enough fun there.
Yeah.
And so when you watch a movie like that and you see that, you sit back and just like most media pros would, you sort of shake your head and do basically what you did here is just say,
no, you watch a movie like that, you watch it because it's a good movie.
So
I'm aware of, I'll tell you, I'm more aware, Mark, of the Foleys and the ADRs
right.
and techniques, how the music moves from one scene to the next, because that's what I do all day long. I watch a movie to be entertained.
The kind of stuff...
A Sony production monitor, 8 hours a day, that's my work.
I'm just going to sit back here for a minute. I wanted to ask you a question about the kind of editing that you just did.
Yeah.
Is it usually worth it? I mean, you know, where...
Well, if I wanted to get a guy in trouble...
Well, and even in a professional project where you're trying to fix something that was botched to the point where, you know...
Mark, it doesn't take any longer to know what you're doing and go in. Turning, I did not have sex with that woman to... I did not have sexual relations to, I had sex with that woman, took me less than a minute.
when I'm dressed, I'm still a man in a man's body. And I'm not a woman in a man's body. I am a man in a man's body. And I just like to wear the clothes.
That they probably otherwise wouldn't buy. They couldn't afford to buy many of them. My own kids included hundreds of downloads of...
news articles, letters, all sorts of stuff, really circulating around the idea of radical music and not being bound by any particular genre or political line.
That television brings in is if you've got good graphic bloody pictures, you've got a story.
Saludos a todos. This is the media chef, and we're out here on the street and on the beat for Nut Channel Zero. Today we're going to take a close look at those reality shows like America's Most Wanted, American Detective, and even Cops.
Don't move! Don't move!
All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
So what about these reality shows? I mean, what's the big deal about watching Cops anyway?
It has its rewards.
Yeah, but some critics are saying that these reality programs are more about making cops look good than they are about catching criminals. And if that's the case, hey man, call it what it is.
You never know if it's the real thing or not. What you gonna do?
Now, the thing about these reality programs is that you never know exactly what kind of programs they are. News programs, public service programs, entertainment programs, all of the above, none of the above. You never know.
Report of possible shots fired. Take a ride down 124 and see if we see anything here.
You're driving a little fast, aren't you?
Oh... There's a guy in a white. You see the guy in a white? Yeah. Bad boys,
what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for
you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
This is my first call.
Hey, get a
the good, the bad, the coverage. Make it handheld and a little shaky so the people viewing will feel like they're ringside getting in all the action. Add just the pinch of violence and voila, instant reality.
The body is not aching, it's your mind knows all of that, see? You're alerted mentally to the unpleasant condition existing in your body. Okay? So it makes you pay. On the other hand, if you're really in perfect harmony, happy-go-lucky sort of character, you could eat cop attacks for tinned meat and never know that you ate it.
You create your own reality. Hi, how, why? You create your own reality because, number one, it comes through your sense organs. I'm colorblind. I see a different reality than you do. You use a microscope, the techniques we use. You use a telescope, electron telescope. Hey, you're a different reality every time you fine-tune your perceptual apparatus. Not to mention the fact that each of us creates our own reality by imposing our models or our paradigms. Oh, here's a drop of something red over there. Yeah, I think it's paint. No, I think it's blood. What do you think? Yeah, I've got a microscope. Yeah, that's blood, all right. That's hemoglobin. Yeah. Hey, electron microscope. Yeah, I'll see you. Hey. Here comes Jimmy Swagger. Oh, shit. What's up, man? What's that red over there? Well, take a look at it, Jimmy. Take a look through the microscope. Jimmy, look through the microscope. That's a work of the devil. Yes. It's red, it's pink, it's the vagina of the whore of Babylon, and she's winking at me. You make your own reality, like it or not. Jean-Paul Sartre was great here. French existentialist. He said, boys and girls, I know you want some comfort, but there's no comfort. You're all alone out there. You're in the nose cone of the spaceship of your own time and like that. You're hurtling into a black future and you don't have a clue as to where you're going and no navigation and you don't even know how to operate the neurological equipment. Well, I'm sorry, but that's where you're at. Oh, but that's too hard to take, isn't it? Hey, you're having enough time paying the rent and avoiding the smog air and all that shit, and the 1 billion hours are going to kill you for reading a book or something. And now I come along, start coming along and tell you, every day you got to get up, you got to figure it all out, that you're there's no one to rely on. Man. Oh, no, you can't. I know you can't. Well, in that case, come along with me to the theological boutique. Come on. We'll go down to the Divinity Mall. You can buy a nice God here. Solve all your problems. Do all your thinking for you. Okay.
Not only with each other on a wireless local air network, but directly wirelessly with our neurons using neuron transistors, which is technology that has already been demonstrated. And if we want to be in real reality, they sit there and do nothing. You want to be in virtual reality, they shut down the signals coming from your real senses and replace them with the signals that you would be receiving from your senses if you were in the virtual environment. And then it feels just like you're there, and more you can go there with your friends or your lover or your business partner, and have any kind of encounter with anyone, from sensual encounters to business negotiations, in virtual environments encompassing all of the senses.
I don't feel that what I've done is a crime. And I think it's illogical and irresponsible for you to sentence me to prison. Because when you think about it, what did I really do? I crossed an imaginary line with a bunch of plants.
You know, if maybe I was gay because, you know, I like wearing women's clothes, so gee, I must be attracted to guys. And, you know, I did some experimenting when I was younger, and it never really felt right. It didn't fit for me. So it's just really hard to be gay when you're not attracted to guys, you know.
I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at my desk. I'm handling more output per square inch of my body than I ever have. Model call. Thanks for considering working with us. Shoots take place in San Francisco, California. Working conditions and work ethic. 1. We will do all we can to make the modeling experience as comfortable as possible. 2. For shoots where domination is involved, you will always be given a safe word. 3. You will be asked to give us a 1-minute warning that you need to be released. When we get that signal, we immediately get you untied. Even if we have not shot all the material we wanted. 4. Generally we always shoot with at least 2 people excluding yourself present. For any kind of suspension work, there is usually a 3rd person present. 5. For references, browse the models we have shot. Some models have their own site, you can visit their site and ask for references. For further reference, write to us. 6. Word travels fast in the internet age. If we were to abuse your trust in us, we would quickly find models hard to find. You can rest assured we take your comfort and safety extremely seriously. Your limits. Every model has her own limits, and we can work with that. For example, we have shot with models who will not display full nudity, for example, Alexis Ramian. We need to know what your limits are. Nudity. A. I will display frontal nudity, but no genital nudity at all. B. I can be nude, but no spreadshots. C. I will do spreadshots. Bondage. D. I can be tied in basic positions. E. I can be tied in suspension bondage. F. I can have genital penetration while in bondage. G. I can be whipped with whips that will cause welts. H. I can be whipped with whips that will cut my skin and possibly send me into psychic shock. Contact. W. I want contact with the bondage artist and myself kept to the minimum possible whilst tying the knots. X. I am okay being gently teased, spanked, caressed by a male model while in bondage. There is no genital contact at all. Y. I am okay being dominated with moderate whipping or spanking by a male model. I understand I will have a safe word. Z. It is okay for the male model to stimulate my genitals or fuck me while whipping me and causing me to go into paroxysms of semi-consciousness. If interested, please send us a picture of yourself and the type of shoot you are interested in doing. For example, you can refer to your limits as BDZ, meaning no spreadshots, basic bondage, semi-consciousness. Okay.
There are 26 million Americans.
Americans?
Yeah, you pressed 4. You wanted a lot.
Come on, stop fooling with these press buttons.
Sir, you asked me for the truth. If you want to
stop fooling with these buttons.
I'm sorry, it is our survey.
You're so full of, just like this other guy who's this so-called Canadian on the radio.
Sir, it's part of our survey process.
You're painting the Canadians, all 26 million of them,
as nose picks.
With certain facts.
Yes. Well, they do. They pick their nose. I didn't do it. I didn't start it.
What are you yelling at me for?
Americans don't pick their nose?
Canadians do it to a man and to a woman and to a child. Every last one of them, they come down here.
Americans don't pick their nose?
Press one.
Americans don't pick their nose?
I'll answer that if you press one.
Well,
press one. You got to press one. I can't hear it unless you press one.
Okay.
Let me just say
something.
Yeah.
I've lived in three foreign countries.
Press two if you're telling me the truth.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I got to put you on hold. This is the Miami Chamber of Commerce on 610 WIOD.
Injury to the either hand?
No.
Approximately what time was it when you got your food?
9:25, 9:26.
All right. Now, as the defendant drove home, what was he doing?
Eating the food.
So he ate and drove at the same time?
Yeah, but he finished pretty fast. I mean, it wasn't... Yeah, he ate and drove. I paid, but OJ gave him the money.
And that McDonald's is located where?
And I take it what you're really telling us here is that it's not so much the technology. What you really want to do when you're working with sound is you want to really go into the phonemes and you want to break apart how sound and words are constructed so that you can work at it from that perspective.
You asked me whether I was a Republican. I started thinking about this guy, and the demo that I did before that was a fellow by the name of Nixon, who I would sit in an NAB convention and turn him into saying, I profited from public service, I am a crook. Okay, so thinking Nixon, I gathered a piece of tape. You just said it's not the technology. Here's something that I did almost 30 years ago.
You're dating yourself, Jay.
Okay. Say?
You're dating yourself.
No, I date somebody else, actually.
Let's have it.
A fellow running against Richard Nixon, George McGovern.
Okay.
My first piece of work in this industry was the Massachusetts branch of his presidential campaign. And I found a piece of tape. I want you to listen to it. It's edited with a razor blade. You hear two voices talking. Do we have 30 seconds that I can play this?
Oh, sure.
Okay. It's a 30-second spot. You hear two voices talking, even though it's going over the phone, and then you guys are compressing it and shooting it out. You can still understand both voices because of the little edits that move the rhythms from one word to the next. Take a listen.
I look at these big corporations getting all this money from the government. I'm paying the taxes.
Everybody talks about taxes. George McGovern wants to do something about them. He's developed detailed proposals to plug tax loopholes in two areas, the profits of large corporations and the incomes of the very rich.
You know, I mean, there's something wrong here somewhere. The whole system.
Tax law doesn't make good election speeches. George McGovern keeps hammering at it because it's important. You can trust a man like that. Paid for by the Massachusetts McGovern for President Committee, a group of people who trust George McGovern.
Okay, the tail end of that was a little bit hard to discern, but yeah.
Well, if you listen to it carefully, the two voices come up together and are in perfect sync at the word trust. Take a listen just to the end.
A group of people who trust George McGovern.
Yes. Subliminal messaging?
Subliminal messaging, manipulative.
Sure.
He won in Massachusetts.
They should have run
the
that
only
all
state he carried.
They should have run that all over the country then.
What did I know?
So what did you... You were just showing us the linking of the two voices to
there's a lot of very tight editing there. You asked before whether it's worth going into that. I was a crazy kid. I spent a whole day working on 30 seconds with a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, with a technology like Peak, a couple of other programs that I use, it is worth it because it doesn't take any time. If you know what you're going in there to cut, if you know what you want the sound to be, you can make it do almost anything.
Hmm. So,
and you can use that to sell my book.
There we go. Are we finished with the fun?
No, I'm not going to be finished with the fun ever.
Okay. I believe that. I just thought maybe we'd actually start talking about something like producing great sound for digital video. As you know, for the people who are sitting at home or even in their offices with their Macintoshes doing DV with Final Cut Pro 2 out, hey, did you hear? They put VU meters in it, Jay.
Yeah, I still haven't had a chance to test how they're calibrated.
Well, and I was taking a look at your book, Producing Great Sound for Digital Video, and having been through a couple of small ones myself, realizing that sound for video is, most of the video. I mean, I think that's why people like you get the kind of work that you do, because the top flight film and video people know that the sound quality has to be there in order for the...
Look at television. If you look, not film as much. Film is driven by visual action. But if you look at television, the editing rhythms, the pacing, everything is driven by the dialogue.
Yeah.
And when you get down to the level of corporate videos that I know a lot of your listeners work on, event videos, things like that, the voice is king. So the more you can control that, manipulate that, the better a chance you have of coming out with a film that's going to do what you want.
Well, if we've got about a minute, I look forward to the next time we get together in this segment, because we'll get a chance to delve a little further in this. But let's start right at the source. You're capturing sound for digital video.
Yep.
What are some of the things you want to watch out for?
I'll tell you the number one mistake people make.
Sure.
They use the camera.
Indeed.
Indeed. It's not that it's a bad mic. It might be a bad mic. It depends on the camera. I don't know what kind of camera you got, but it's in the wrong place. The camera lens is a distance away so that you can frame a shot. That's too far for any microphone.
Right.
And once you record something that way, you can never fix it. It's picked up too much room reverb. It's picked up too much of the sense of the room, let alone any noise that's in the room. And you no longer have the feeling that somebody's talking to you.
First thing you want to do then is either get close with the mic, have a lab, have a boom.
Exactly.
What's your preference?
The book talks about all the techniques and why certain things work and why certain things don't. It's a practical book. It's not a theory book. But yes, get a lav. In Hollywood, everything is done with a boom.
Right.
They can't do it with a boom. They put a boom out there, and they record a guide track, which they then replace with that same microphone in a studio.
They lose.
Stays the way a boom would be.
Right. So, assuming that we're not talking about, Hollywood television sets and
yep.
things like that, realistic applications that shooters can use out in the field, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So it's get a lav or a good boom. In fact, I'm looking at a Sennheiser boom right now, pointed at me. So I've got that as an example. Any other things that somebody, a shooter can do on location to
yeah.
make sure they've got the best source?
You don't have to hire a professional boom operator. There are ways to teach a production assistant to do an acceptable job. But the boomers, the professional ones, I have a lot of respect for them. They use a lot of skill as well as physical endurance. And if you can hire somebody like that, it's going to improve your film. But if you're saying you don't have the budgets, then find a PA, a production assistant. Give them some training steps that are in the book and also a couple of articles on my website on how to use boom microphones. Give them a day to practice before the shoot, and your track will be 1,000% better than if you use the camera mic, and possibly a few 100% better than if you use the lav.
What are we looking for? Things like distance of 8 to 16 inches away?
Distance, how it's pointed, an awareness of what happens behind the microphone. A shotgun microphone does not have a pattern like a lens or like a shotgun.
Right.
A shotgun microphone has sort of a balloony blob in front that falls off gradually, and then a couple of little tiny balloons, condoms, coming out the back. And you have to be aware of them because they can get you into trouble.
I mean, numerals, like digit would be that too, but you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Analog.
And so you looked at the clock, you saw it was 9:15 to 9:18, and how long after that did you get, was it before you got to McDonald's?
Customer service, can I help you?
Hi, is this the admissions office?
How can I help you?
My name is and I applied to go to school there last winter semester.
Okay, what were you going to major in?
I didn't have a major.
So you didn't pick a department?
I don't think I really can't remember.
Okay.
My question is, I really am interested in going there. I just wasn't able to get the tuition together in time. I applied very late.
Well, I could transfer you to the admissions director, and he could make an exception for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Please hold.
Yeah, this is Willie. Can I help you?
Hi, is this the admissions office?
You talking to admissions director?
The director?
How can I help you?
I applied last semester, I think for the winter semester.
You go to school here? How you doing, baby doll?
What's that there?
If I can make a difference, I'll let you in here. Talk to me, Junkyard Willie. I'm the admissions director.
Willie?
Yeah.
What I was wondering, I sent in my transcripts and filled out the application and everything like that.
What'd you get on your SATs?
I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I was in high school, probably 5-6 years.
Hot damn, that's better than I'd ever do.
I went to a...
Yeah.
But I applied at Tech last year, or half a year ago.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I was still on file, and... Is there a way you can punch in my social security number to
clear? Yeah, I can do it. I tell you what, you sound so sexy, I want you to come down here and say hi to me.
Okay.
I'll get you in. Put on something sexy, come on down and talk to me. And, bring me like a 40. Can you bring me a 40?
Is this serious?
Yeah, bring me some malt liquor, we'll have a good time.
Service, can I help you?
I'm looking for the admission director.
Who's calling?
My name's...
Okay, I'll transfer you. Please hold.
Yeah, this is Willie. Can I help you?
Yeah, this is the admission office.
You talking to the admission director?
Did you just talk to a girl?
Well, yeah, I talk to people all the time. What you mean?
Well, my girlfriend just told me that you told her that she had a sexy voice and that she needed to come down there and talk to you and bring a bottle of liquor.
I don't know what you talk about.
She was just on the phone with you. I'm with her right now.
Maybe she talked to somebody else. I don't know.
No, it was you. She said the raspy voice, Willie, admission director.
Well, that's me.
You know, you ought to lose your job for that.
What you talking about, boy?
Don't call me boy.
That's me, damn it. I used to be a drill sergeant. Don't call up your...
I don't care what you used to be, all right? You're not supposed to talk to people like that.
Here, I'll make you drop and do 100 push-ups. You want to call up talking this kind of trash? You talking to me?
You think I'm going to do one push-up for you? I mean, are you on crack cocaine or something?
What's your name, boy?
Are you on crack cocaine?
Are you trying to get into this school, boy? I'm going to let you in. What's your name?
I ain't trying to get into this school. I'm calling you about the phone call you just had. I'm reporting you did the law.
You want to get into this school? You can just forget about getting in here. Forget it, Dan.
I'm reporting you to the law. I'm not calling about getting into your school.
Don't you be messing with my job, boy.
What's that?
Don't you be messing with my job.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm not going to have to mess with it because the law is going to.
Don't you be talking
about... You can't talk to people like that, I'm fine. It's called sexual harassment.
What the hell you talk about? I don't know what you talk about.
Of course you won't, because you're just a dumbass.
You sound like a jive turkey.
What'd you say?
You sound like a jive turkey.
A what?
You sound...
How
like
the hell did you get this job when you can't even speak correct English?
Your Aunt Maybelline wear a butt plug anyway, so forget about it then.
What's that?
I said your Aunt Maybelline probably wear a butt plug. talking this kind of trash over
what, the phone. How the hell are you allowed to talk like this when you're an admission director?
Exactly, that's it. I'm
Who's your supervisor?
I say whatever the hell I feel like I want to say. I do what I want to do.
Who the hell is your supervisor?
I do. Don't be talking this kind of trash, trying to mess with my job, boy. Who the hell you think you is?
Who the hell? Look, why can't you even speak correct English?
I told you, I don't know what you talk about. Some girl calling
well,
up.
Well, it's obviously you do, because you just talked about my Aunt Maybelline wearing a butt plug
that's
or something.
You called up talking trash on the telephone. If you called with a damn fraternity trying to pull my leg, I used to be a drill sergeant. Come on.
I don't care. You think I give a crap what you used to be?
You step foot in my office, I'm going to make you drop and do 100 push-ups.
Yeah. You're on crack cocaine, too.
You a boy. Come on down here.
You the boy, all right? You the boy.
Come on
Because
down.
You can't even talk like an adult.
Bring your fool ass down here.
The Red Sea. The ambitious shoot is couched in the bud. Solemn business of walking ghosts.
We and now for the last time until we meet at the ballot box. We shall overcome. We shall
testimonies, whitewashed carcasses of derelict efforts. Taunting our flagitious mania with Philistine values. The sadistic guffaw that erupts and erupts from the pale civilizing jaws of our benefactors. Echo decays of the morning kissing. Concede with light echo scene. Galleries of fourth courses. Exhibit landscapes of futile visions, flaring in us flames of lamentations that bear the crucifix of failure and defeat.
Why should blondes not be given coffee breaks? It takes too long to retrain them. How can you tell if a blonde's been using the computer? There's white out on the screen. What do you call a blonde with a dollar on the top of their head? All you can eat, under a book. Why do blondes wear hoop earrings? They have to have some place to rest their ankles. Why do blondes wear green lipstick? Because red means stop. Why don't blondes use vibrators? They chip their teeth. Why do blondes wear underwear? They make good ankle warmers. Why don't blondes in San Francisco wear short black mini skirts? Cause their balls show. Why do blondes have TGIF on their shirts? Tits go in front. How do you change a blonde's mind? Blow in her ear. What's the first thing a blonde does after sex? Opens the car door. Why do blondes like tilt steering? More headroom. Why do blondes drive cars with sunroofs? More legroom. Why is a blonde like a doorknob? Because everybody gets a turn. Why is a blonde like railroad tracks? Because she's been laid all over the country. What does a blonde say when you blow in their ear? Thanks for the refill. What is it called when a blonde blows in another blonde's ear? Data transfer.
WZBC. Adam Newton. 90 and the point 3. That's the salient part of it right there. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Otherwise known as Gary Geiserman, New Metaphysics. Go until about 10 to 3. And then down ramping after that. That is if you use the wheel technology. Not everybody has that yet. Of course, you don't want to use the Microsoft wheel technology. That's called a Denver boot. Anyway, how is everybody out there in Radio Land? And not all of you have radios, I understand. There's been a shortage. Still that big surcharge in Wisconsin. I don't know why, but you know, different states, different realities. Just some audio on just some radio, that's all. All the advertising is subliminal and, at a 90-degree angle, axis-wise, to the subcarrier, at least the part that you get on the main carrier. So it appears as though this is benign, harmless, for some reason non-capitalist, uncommercial media. That's good for our image. Some people like that kind of thing. The irregulars. You might be one of those irregular listeners. And we want to get you. Catch you in the web. Fan out. Maintain the perimeter. Search and destroy. Beat the brush. Gain market share. Part of the diversification program at the big corporate headquarters. Is contrary to public information, there are not six multinational global corporate media outfits like in 1984. That's a lie. There's really just one. So don't believe everything you hear from the counterculture or the underground or the marginal media outlets or on the internet or at some of those meetings that you've been attending. Or those pamphlets that you have at home. Or things like that. You see, metaphysically, it's a big lie. Because for irregular types, they need that kind of lefty, underground, Noam Chomsky kind of nadir type of thing. And it's probably best that you continue to hold on to those illusions that seem to explain why everything is the way it is today. And that's, of course, where we come in here at the Big Z House, House of Chaos. But not really. Metaphysically, it's not that way at all. It's all just one umbrella, the big tent, and you're in it. You just have a different dress code and take different so-called drug extractives. Say different sounds and words, do different things, go different places and think different thoughts. And have different kinds of sex, different kinds of intimacies and passions in your lives. And I don't want to dash any illusions or anything, but it's not really true. Same boss, old boss. Two bullets in the head kind of thing. Because metaphysically, it's not that way at all. But it is a comfortable cocoon for you. A niche. Everybody has to have a niche today, and you've got one. And we here at the House of Z help provide one for you. But you know it's not true. You don't have a niche. You're mainstream right down the pike, like everybody else today. At least to the degree that you confer reality to your fellow human beings. Or to yourselves. I don't know how much reality you do confer, but it's probably too much or too little. And you're not going to be able to get away with it for much longer. Is you all working for the man, whether you like it or not. Well, or as I like to say down here at New Metaphysics, for the major. And the major will bring you home. Provide a safe house for you, intermediaries, and peripherals till you get back on your feet, which I know you want to do. Things being what they are today.
Why do blondes use tampons with extra long strings? So the crabs can go bungee jumping. What's a blonde's favorite wine? Daddy, I want to go to Miami.
Noise in the background?
Picking up technical noises and also picking up reflections from the ceiling and from the walls.
I was fascinated by women's clothes. I remember noticing my mom's clothes when I was like 4 or 5 years old. You know, sometimes I look back at my life and so much of it's been about just fear and inhibition. My 20s were just kind of a lost decade. I do like having the whole thing, the breasts and the wig and all, too, when I'm going out. You know, I want to look as good as I possibly can. You know, being a guy, you don't pick up on those things and how to walk like a girl and all that.
I have something for you. So you can fit in. Be one of us. There's a fetish for you. There's a cross-wired association for you. That may not be one of the really, really, really bad ones, but it's probably naughty. And you have at least 2 to 3 of them. It's about time you admitted to yourself what they are. And then get it on, my friends.
Pains and sicknesses and all of that are brought about by our own distortion, mental distortion, in most cases. Okay? Then we take another phase of it.
you know, this is really about greed. Nobody wants to talk about that. And there's a notion that's been developing, and Chris and I talked about this on the last show, that music should be free.
I don't think I'm being greedy when I go to somebody else's house and listen to their CD.
You know...
Here's my opinion on Napster and copyright of authors' works. Even if 99.99% of all authors' works are denied them by corporate equity holders and de facto accounting technologies, my position is none. No, nothing. The true hacker ethic, of course. Let's go way beyond. Come out the other end now. In fact, let's do that 5 years ago. Or the day before I... as a spirit entered my fetus. Let's go back to there. So nobody has rights on nothing. You just naturally have what's yours. And then we'll work it out. Most of that already. There's a little bit of the old school to be ironed out. A little more left. Then we crossfade to the other side. No quick edits. Crossfade.
Not what this is all about. This is about going anywhere you want and getting anything you want. And
you It's your time. 15 minutes ain't long. When that cigarette burns out, your time is up.
How old are you? You don't want to tell me? What's your name?
Easy.
Well, that's not any kind of name.
Well, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, but what's your real name?
I don't like my real name.
Oh, what's your real name?
Iris.
Well, what's wrong with that? That's a nice name.
That's what you think.
Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't you remember me? You mean, remember when you got into a taxi? It was a checkered taxi. You got in and that guy Matthew came by and he said he wanted to take you away? He pulled you away? You don't remember any of that?
No.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to get you out of here.
So we better make it, or Sport will get mad. So how do you want to make it?
I don't want to make it. Who's Sport?
Oh, that's Matthew. I call him Sport. Want to make it like this?
Listen, but you're the one that came into my cab. You're the one that wanted to get out of here.
Well, I must have been stoned.
Why? What do you mean? They drug you?
Oh, come off it, man.
What are you doing?
Don't you want to make it?
No, I don't want to make it. I want to help you.
Well, I can help you.
Damn, man. Damn it! Shit, man. What the hell's the matter with you?
Listen, you don't have to make it, mister.
God damn it, don't you want to get out of here? Can't you understand why I came here?
I think I understand. I tried to get into your cab one night, and you want to come and take me away. Is that it?
Yeah, but don't you want to go?
I can leave anytime I want to.
Well, then what about that one night?
Look, I was stoned. That's why they stopped me. Because when I'm not stoned, I've got no place else to go. So they just protect me from myself.
I don't know. Okay, I tried.
Hey, look, I understand. And it means something, really.
Yeah. Well, look, can I see you again?
That's not hard to do.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean, you know, regularly. This is nothing for a person to do.
All right, how about breakfast tomorrow?
Tomorrow what?
I get up at about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Well, I got a thing I don't...
Come on, do you want to or not?
I don't know nobody named Iris. No? Hey, get back to your fucking tribe before you get hurt, huh, man? Do me a favor. I don't want no trouble, huh? Okay? You got a gun? Get the fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. Suck on this.
Oh.
Plaza. In the chaos immediately after the shooting, there'd been confusion about where the shot had come from. Over 50 known eyewitnesses believed that there was a gunman up on the grassy knoll, but the police quickly focused their attention on the book depository. Within 90 seconds. In the southeast corner of the sixth floor, three spent cartridges were found lying closely together against the wall, near a half-open window that overlooked the motorcade route. Later, a rifle was found on the same floor by Deputy Sheriff Eugene Boone.
In the far corner of the stairwell, you could not see this corner of the building at all from the stairwell. That's where I found the rifle over in the northwest corner of the building. There were two rows of books. The outside row was two cases high, and as I looked in the crevice, I saw the rifle in there.
It was an Italian Manica Cacano of World War II vintage, worn and rusty and with a misaligned scope. Despite intense efforts over a three-day period, the Dallas police and the FBI were only able to find Oswald's smudged palm print on the rifle after his death. Forty-five minutes after the assassination, a police patrolman, J.D. Tippett, was shot dead in the Oak Cliff area of Dallas, 3 miles from downtown. Squad cars swiftly converged on the Texas Theater, a mile from the scene of the shooting. A man, behaving suspiciously, had slipped inside without paying and disappeared into the upper balcony. One of the first police officers on the scene was Paul Bentley.
I came down from the balcony and entered the theater from this door right here. Oswald was sitting in this chair, and just as I entered, he jumped up as McDonald came up in front of him, Officer McDonald. He immediately pulled a gun from his waist. As I saw him pull the pistol, I dove over the seats and struggled, came down on the side of Oswald, or the suspect, struggling with him. I scraped his forehead with the bottom of this ring. I had some of the skin from his forehead under the ring when I got to the city hall.
I didn't shoot him because at that time other officers had converged and was afraid if I did miss, I might hit another officer. And it seemed like 100 years before I could get that gun out of his hand and get it into my belt.
But it was a good film, actually. It was pretty Altman-esque, and you know, Altman's always good. If you're a film buff, Altman's always good, no matter what when he makes shit, even if it's Shortcuts. Shortcuts, oh god, let's praise that shit. That was the worst movie I've ever seen. No beginning, no middle, no end, no interesting characters, no story. Hey, look at me, I'm digressing again. Anyway, black and white, it was pretty cool. It showed teenagers struggling for an identity and trying to find their identities within the black culture. And what was more interesting to me was not the fact that they chose the black culture to find their identity in, which is seems to be a prevalent thing these days, which is kind of funny when you consider a lot of white middle class and upper class people don't have a fucking clue of what living in a ghetto is, or struggling, or having you know, racist actions taken upon you. But I guess, you know, if you need an identity, you need an identity, don't you? If you're a teen and you're growing up in this world, you need an identity. And these middle class, upper class parents, fuck, even lower class parents, who cares? All the parents these days, they don't seem to be paying much attention. I guess maybe our economy. Of course, it takes two parents to raise a couple of kids. not enough money there. And one job, you have to take two jobs. And these kids are being raised by what? Television? Television and the media and commercialism? Advertising? Magazines? Young and Modern? Spin? My favorite magazines. Well, when you're raised on that shit, what are you going to become? Whatever they tell you to become. Whatever's popular. Whatever's cool. Whatever's hip. You become The Gap. You become rap. You become Blimp Biscuit. You become whatever's cool at whatever second. What's the top 20? That's what you become. Well, your parents are not around to tell you how to act. Who else is going to tell you? The next best thing. Carson Daly, of course, because Carson Daly tells me how to live. I didn't know two shits about life until I started watching TRL, actually. He tells me what to dress, how to paint my nails, what to listen to. Gee golly, I love all that crap. And I'm not going to just pass it off on an economy and say, well, because parents have two jobs, they can't raise their kids. Oh, isn't that obvious? Well, no, let's look at the generation that is now raising our kids. We're getting into the X generation, of course, right in the middle of the X generation, in fact, and some of the Y generation's raising kids now. What do they know? Many of these cats came of cats. Hey, she just said cats, like I'm some sort of bebop freak or something. Hey, cool cats. Most of these cats came of age in the 80s. Gee, what a great time that was to live. Grew up with Reaganomics and money, 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 capitalism, capitalism, capitalism. And let's not forget Madison Avenue, of course, and Miami Vice. Let's not forget Miami Vice, because Miami Vice is essential to anybody's 80s diet. Because everybody loved Don Johnson. And let's not forget MTV, of course. Didn't that warp our fragile little minds? We get really nervous whenever an image stays still for about 2 seconds, don't we? Has to be cut up, has to be thrown together, has to jump around the screen a lot, like a little critter on acid. So these parents, they grew up with their cocaine-loving, new wave, glam, trickle-down superficiality, and then they breed kids who are gap-wearing, gun-toting, M&M-loving meth superficiality. And then we basically have superficiality times 10. And I really love the word superficiality. It's such a great word, that's superficiality, isn't it? It's such a critical word. You can basically call anything superficial you want to be put down right away. It's easier than saying stupid, because then it makes you sound ignorant when you say stupid. Hey, stupid! It's stupid! But if you say superficial, that's a big word, isn't it? $20 right there. It's so superficial. Now, you kids stay away from that superficial old Marge up the hill. She'll say some superficial stuff to you that'll make you ignorant. And right about now, I'm thinking maybe I should have written all this shit down. See, now you're getting used to my slow, morphine-like pace. And you're going, Jesus Christ, will you fucking speed up and stop saying, And then what about that country voice of yours? And what about you criticizing yourself every 2 minutes, huh? Why do you have to criticize yourself so much? I don't know why I criticize myself so much. Maybe it's my lack of self-esteem. I'm hurting deep inside. Why don't you guys love me? Why don't you love me? Well, fuck it. I guess I'll just have to stay in my basement all day and hide from the world. Because you don't love me. You're just using me, you bitches.
Chevrolet. Chevrolet. You'll find that book in the Chevrolet.
Cabaret. Tabouret. You might like to rest your feet on the tabouret.
Toile de joue. Toile de joue. A toile de joue fabric would be most appropriate for this room.
Torchère. Torchère. A torchère would probably provide the best lighting for this corner.
Girls, my number is 555-6543 if you want to give me a call. I'm really horny right now. And hey, please scan in your tits for me so I can put them up on my webpage for the world to see. Thank you very much.
Dining room wall.
You know what? I wasted the last 15 minutes of your time.
No.
And that's if you actually stayed to hear the whole entire thing.
There is an elaborate
now, that would be a big surprise,
wouldn't
it? Hey, I promise next time I'll take a little nap and drink a little beer before I start ranting, and then I can go like 100 miles per hour. And maybe you'll appreciate my thoughts a little bit more. Of course, why should you appreciate my thoughts? They're so unoriginal. They're so mainstream. I have mainstream, anti-mainstream thoughts. I don't get it, but I do. I'm so mainstream in my anti-mainstreamness. And actually, what I really want to see now is a bunch of sites telling me how much I suck. And maybe some emails about how much I suck and how much this radio show sucks. You could start off like something like, you know, I thought your site was okay before, but, you know, since this whole radio thing that you're doing, it really sucks now, and I can't believe you'd ever pay money to put shit like this up. Be sure to link me on your site when you say such things. I need the hits really badly. I'm suffering here. I feel like a rebel without a cause. No, seriously. No, really, I do. I do. No, seriously. Anyway, the end of the show. Fuck off.
She's a classic case of hysteria conversion. Only a severe catharsis could jolt her at all.
May I have a small glass, Doctor?
Well, yes, certainly.
Pat, that acid we got?
Acid?
Formic, Doctor. Thank you. It may provide the jolt you need. Thank you.
Look, I got a little problem here. I got some leaks up in the roof there.
Yeah.
I had some guys here yesterday, some Mexican, little Mexicans. They're up there whacking away at my roof. They tell me this, that, and the other thing. Next thing you know, it rains. I got the rain coming right down inside. I went up there. You know, they're trying to show me this, that. I fired the two of the fuckers off on their fucking head. They don't know what the fuck they're doing up there. My wife's up there poking around. She's making like she knows what the fuck is up. I fired her down onto the fucking car. Now, what I need here, buddy, is I need this fucking thing done right. Tell me what you can do for me.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not fucking putting you on, man. This is aggravating me now. This shit's going on. My wife, she's up there poking around like she knows what the fuck she's doing. I kick her right up the fucking ass, threw her down onto the fucking car. Show me what you can do now. I really need this. It's all along the side of the fucking house. The water's coming in like a sieve. Hey, this is a fucking joke, huh? Come on, buddy, help me out here.
Okay, what's your name?
Frank Rizzo.
Spell it.
R-I-Z-Z-O.
R-I-Z-Z-O. R-I-Z-Z-O.
Notice that you are reading at three times the speed that you once read. You have not sacrificed any comprehension or attention. In fact, your comprehension and retention have also improved.
Okay. And so what about things like, you know, simple things like even phasing when you're working in situations like
that? You never mix the boom and loft together.
Got it.
That's a mistake a lot of people make.
Z-O.
Yeah, now this problem, this has been going on for years now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The rain just comes in, it's like buckets on my fucking head.
Because it does give them some control over the sound.
Going anywhere you want and getting anything you want.
In all honesty, I don't feel that what I've done is a crime. And I think it's illogical and irresponsible for you to sentence me to prison. Because when you think about it, what did I really do? I crossed an imaginary line with a bunch of plants.
What does a peroxide blonde and a 747 have in common? They both have a black box.
This is all about. This is about going anywhere you want and getting anything you want, anytime you want, without asking for permission. Now, if an artist wants to put their music out there for free, that's an artist's prerogative. It's their property right now.
Sean, aren't
I think what you're suggesting is that it no longer be their property, and I think that...
Adam Newton, some WZ. Don't mix with any other fluid, could create toxins. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Gary. 90.3 FM in the tri-state area. One half of the town, way overeducated, literalized into the Stone Age of intelligence. The other half of the town has the Red Sox company as their god. Somewhere in between, the Z House of Chaos resides. Something like the Limbic. Or even better, in between the in-between. Gary Geiserman right here. I hope I've entertained you, allowed you to laugh, have a period of entertainment, relieved stress from your stressful, stressed out day, and left the world a little better place than before. Or maybe crossfaded beyond the faded gene. Perhaps. to dream. Perchance, on the big board at .org, gotta have some kind of broadband, I guess. 112 clicks. That's all I got of us on there. But you can go to Fiji in a tin Quonset hut. 108 degrees, 100% humidity. Sit on an upside down wash bucket with a damp, warm rag on your head. TV from World War II with no electricity. And listen to the Big Z. You could do that. Hey, you, Fiji Islander, I'm talking to you. You could. Every Thursday, a little fun time for us. Get to get as much stuff in the crosshairs and squeeze the friggin' trigger.
Yes.
The spacing changes as the person moves. The lob is fairly consistent in its distance to his mouth, except when he turns his head.
Gentlemen, I understand your impatience. I know you two are concerned with solving what is essentially a local crime, but please believe me, I am not being coy with you. No. If I'm wrong in my assumptions, then no harm has been done. But if I am correct, and the mounting evidence only fortifies my theory, then something incredible has happened in this desert. In which case, none of us will dare risk revealing it, because none of us can risk a nationwide panic.
Has been in a closet all their life. They've been hiding something. They've been very ashamed. There's something tremendously liberating about being out in public and having people see you, relate to you, and possibly love you and respect you.
It's okay. You can go public with your secret. If me and my humble radio program and the Z House in general here have done nothing else for you over all these years, perhaps you can summon up the courage, fortify yourself with love wherever you can receive it, and strengthen your pitiful attempts at self-esteem, and go forth, go forward out where the others are, them, with your secret. your dirty little awkward, embarrassing, horrible, hideous secret. And expose this to the people down the block. They'll love you for it. You'll see. It's not as bad as you think. So go ahead. Get out that gear from the back of the closet that you've been hiding. Or those pamphlets underneath the underwear in the underwear drawer. Or that secret special video that's hidden in the trap space behind the family videos. Or that special strap-on device, or that special room in the basement behind the room in the basement behind the hot water heater. Or your secret special friend from that secret special liaison that you go to when you go to New York City or the Southeast Asia hotspot, home of prepubescent sexual slavery. Secret special snapshots Polaroid has helped you capture for those dark, depressing moments back home when you need to look at them again. Or whatever you do. Or even if it's just certain secret special thoughts that you have. Or maybe they're just some strange, odd urges that you have never acted on. Or only once or twice when you were a kid back in Ohio. Or Medford or something. Charlestown, perhaps. Go on outside tomorrow, around noontime, or Sunday. Always good here in Slob City. And exult in the triumph of your special, special secret. And share that thrill, that release that you get with the people in your neighborhood. You'll thank the Z House later, I assure you. Maybe you can even have your own radio show sometime. Or an internet program of your own. I think the world will be a better place for it. And you'll be better off without your home, family, job, community, which you didn't really need in the first place. They'll love you for it in prison. They love people like you. So go ahead.
Risk a nationwide panic.
Panic?
Get the antennas! He's helpless without them. Getting out of line now. I got the fucking kids up there playing on the fucking roof. This is bullshit.
Give me your address.
It's 503 5th Street.
503 5th Street.
All right, listen.
Uh-huh.
What do? You go up there with the kettles, the pots, the fucking hot shit? What do? Talk to me.
What? I have to come see what...
All right, because you know what happens. See, I got a lot of fucking problems. These little Mexican fuckers, they were up there with the hot shit.
Uh-huh.
And they're fucking joking. They were up there slapping each other with the hot mops. See, I don't need this kind of shit. All right?
Yeah.
So I had to go up there, threw the two fuckers right down in the yard, split their fucking heads, out of here.
Well, who'd you hire to do that?
I don't know the name of the fuckers. I thought I was going to get a little break on the price. The little bastards are up on the roof running around like fucking retards.
Huh. Well?
One of them come through the fucking window. He thinks he's cute. He's playing his little games. He fired his friend through my fucking window. He landed down in the living room. Hey, I can't have this shit.
Jiminy Christmas.
All right, Bob, you help me out there.
Okay.
All right. I want you to come over here. You look at the fucking roof. You get your hands right in there and get your hands fucking dirty and you see what the problem is. All right, we'll see if we can fix this shit up.
Huh.
Okay?
Hey, I'll give you a call.
All right, if I get in your way anything like that, you fire me down into the fucking yard, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Hi.
You son of a bitch. How are you?
All right, who you want to sleep with?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
Charles Kimball?
Yes.
This car is barbecue. I used to be Charles Kimball?
Yeah.
I used to be somebody named Charles Kimball. Charles Kimball. So could you describe Charles Kimball?
Yes.
Could you tell how Mr. Kimball looks?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
Detective? Oh, he's a detective, John Kimball.
Hey, I'm a police officer.
Oh.
I'm a cop, you idiot! I'm Detective John Kimball.
Excuse me, sir, but this is Cotton's Barbecue. This is not a police station.
Hello, may I speak to Mr. May, please?
This is Mr. May.
Mr. May, this is Janice from...
I was expecting your call, Joyce.
My name is Janice, Mr. May, and this is...
Yes, I was expecting your call. I'm a psychic.
Well, Mr. May, the reason I'm calling is to tell you that... I can now offer you a 20% savings on your long distance.
Wow! Cause I was just thinking 20%.
Well, all the calls within the U.S., of course, are 20% off and additional savings if you call after 7 p.m. during the week and the weekend.
What
long distance?
Janice, I'm so sorry to interrupt here. I'm getting a lot of readings.
What are readings?
I'm a psychic.
A psychic?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of readings between...
I'm
here. But I got a feeling there's a lot of petitions, a lot of barriers, a lot of walls between you and your other co-workers.
Mr. May, what long-distance company are you using now?
Yeah, I'm with some... But I tell you what, we have to...
Well, if you agree to switch from your current long-distance company, we'll send you a check for $50.
Right, yeah, I knew that.
No, we just have to confirm your address. Are you still living at...
33. Hey, let me ask you something here. You don't think I'm crazy here. The guy closest to you right now?
Uh-huh.
What's his name? The guy
next to me?
Yeah, well,
on which side?
On your right of you.
John?
John. He's gay.
He is not.
No, John's homosexual. I mean, that's okay.
He's married.
I know, they're having a hard time dealing with all this, too. But I just want to prove that he's, John's gay. And I'm getting a lot of readings from you. Unfortunately, all the activity in the room, all the activity is kind of blocking out the readings.